John Wesley was a Christian man who really loved Christ and followed him. And I'm not sure whether this quote was while he was a pastor or maybe right before he was a pastor, but he was in England, but he was going to go to the United States to serve as a missionary to the American Indian. And on his way over to this country, he was quoted as saying this: "I go to convert the American Indian, but who is going to convert me?" That's what he said. "I go to see converts, but who will convert me?" And in spite of being a very church person, being very familiar with the Bible, Wesley felt a need to know Christ as his Lord. And in the midst of all his church activities, he was somehow missing that and missing out on the Lord. Last year, David Bryant, who's a Christian author, spoke to a bunch of gatherings of pastors in the Christian Missionary Alliance. He asked for a continuous conversion of believers to Christ because he felt that if we weren't constantly being renewed in our faith, we would eventually drift and be in the rebellion of unbelief. That was his message for a number of days that he spoke at General Council. And the Holy Spirit tells us in the book of Hebrews, we must pay more careful attention so we do not drift. And that word drift means to slip away or to move past something that's very, very important. And how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? That those words in the Bible are written for, as a warning to people, both in the church and outside the church. And most people, for example, when they think of eternity, don't move away from God purposefully, at least that they sense it's purposeful. They do so more through inattention and would drift away from Christ through a series of smaller rebellions and then suddenly away from God from all eternity. All you have to do to go to hell, someone said, is to do nothing. Just continue on the course your heart is on your own. That takes us away from God. And so God's word says, be careful, do not drift. And that warning, first of all, are for those who are outside of Christ. Those who hear about Christ, agree that Christ is God, and yet drift away and neglect salvation. They have been in church. That's good. But they have not been in Christ. Yes, he's better. In fact, he's the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible teaches that not continuing in faith is a sign of not being in faith at all. Not continuing in faith is a sign of not being in faith at all. And so how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? And I think when it comes to drifting, I know people don't drift on purpose. It's often through inattention. I remember in seminary when we would have a very important class after lunchtime, one of my favorite classes, theology, we would try to say, this is what God is like and this is what the Bible says about him. I thought that's going to be my favorite subject. But I had just eaten lunch, a couple of peanut butter sandwiches, a piece of fruit, feeling just really good in my tummy. Sit down for 2.5 hours, and I'm drifting there. And I know if sometimes that happens in worship. When somebody drifts to sleep in worship, I'm confident in the Bible illustrations of God speaking to people while they sleep. You know, God speaks to us in our dreams. So if you see somebody sleeping in church, it's the Lord speaking to that person. Be there. But that's one form of drifting. The drifting that Hebrews talks about is more life and death drifting. Very, very important matter. 2 months ago in the city of Pittsburgh on Route 8, there was a terrible accident. A wood chipper was not connected properly to a truck. It was through inattention and neglect. It wasn't on purpose. It probably wasn't even because of laziness. But it was because of not being diligent. And then a terrible thing happened. 3 people lost their lives. John MacArthur, who really believes in a believer being secure in Christ and wanting to know Christ and know that he is our He's our safety, has written this about the idea of drifting. He said, we must eagerly secure our lives to Christ, lest the ship of our life drift past the safe harbor of salvation and be lost forever, he goes on to say. There's a wonderful Bible teaching called the perseverance of the saints. To persevere means to stick with and to continue on in the same direction. It's the opposite of drifting. And the perseverance of the saints is a sign that a person really has come to know Christ. Actually, it's the perseverance of God. He hangs in there with us. We know that, so we hang in there with Him. And when that doesn't happen, it's the opposite of drifting. When that doesn't happen, God's Word says that people often go out from among the faithful because they were not of the faithful. That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. In other words, when a person drifts from Christ, that person probably never knew Christ in the first place. They might have been a wonderful church person, faithful in attendance and perhaps even serving, but maybe their heart, they cried out, well, who will convert me? Johnny's a professing Christian. He professes key truths of the faith. Jesus is God. He died on the cross and rose from the dead. He believes the Bible is the Word of God. But he has no perseverance, no hunger for God, no love for Christ. He would be like John Wesley. Who will convert me? And I ask today, as God speaks to your heart, about just where you're at with Him. Where's your anchor? The purpose of your life. Are you following Jesus as Lord on a daily basis? The Holy Spirit's solution to that, He said, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Him. He's our harbor. He's our Savior and Shepherd. And don't be afraid to ask yourself the question, who is really the Christ to whom I was committed to in the first place? Who is He? Does He have our allegiance? What kind of Lord did you seek for eternal life? What kind of Lord was He? Often people allegedly turn to Christ for various reasons, to perhaps feel good on a temporary basis. You might feel bad about yourself or guilty, and you think, I don't want to feel bad or guilty. I'm going to turn to God. He'll help me feel better. So Jesus helps me feel better for a while. Or I might sense, boy, my conscience tells me that without God, I'm headed for an eternity without Him. I'm headed for hell itself. As sure as the sun rises tomorrow, without Christ, I would be headed for hell. So I say, I turn to Christ. I don't want that feeling. I don't want that thought. He will be almost like my fire insurance policy. How many might have a fire insurance policy for your home? I have my fire insurance policy, Jesus, here in my back pocket. Because whatever happens, I don't want to go to hell. But Jesus refuses to be merely our fire insurance policy. He is a real Savior. And He is head of the universe. He's at the center of every experience you and I have. And so He refuses to be reduced to that. But He invites us to know Him through a trust in Him that says He's everything. He has no competitors. That's the Lord. Word Lord means if you were in the New Testament times and you said Jesus was Lord, Jesus is Lord, you stood out from everybody else because everybody else was saying Caesar is Lord. Or everybody else was saying, well, you be Lord of your own life. That's still popular today. Christ says to us in Luke chapter 6, don't call me Lord, Lord, if you do not do what I tell you. And He said in Matthew chapter 7, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. But it's not those who just say, but those who do the will of the Father who say, I trust Christ and I follow Him as evidence that shows the converted heart, the heart who wants to be continuously converted to Christ. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then truly, you are my disciple. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I think just for your own heart, let God speak to you. He's gracious and kind and inviting and persistent. If Jesus is just your fire insurance policy, I would tell you, just as a friend, a Christian friend and pastor. If he's not Lord of your life, he is not Lord enough to get you from hell. He gets you from hell because he is Lord of your life. Who he really is. Trust in him and turn to him in faith, because he has offered himself to you, given his very life for you. No one loves you like he does. So he's trustworthy to give your heart to him. Say in your heart, Jesus, be my Lord today. Cry out to him like Wesley did. Convert me, Lord, here in the month of May. I just don't want to go to church. I remember when I didn't know Christ, being around other believers was the last place I wanted to be. Can't think of any other place that was so not happening there. But Christ at the center of life and faith, what eternal treasures that he brings. The second warning in the scripture about drifting is for the believer who really does know Christ, but through neglect and inattention is not appreciating the salvation that God brings. And that's a check for ourselves. The scripture solution, again, is to say this. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, the person of who Christ is. He is sufficient to get your heart going in the right direction again. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Lord repeats himself and he says this. Fix your eyes on Christ. He's the author and finisher of your faith. And he'll keep you headed in the race of life in the right direction. I knew a retired Methodist pastor, dear person, and worked with his son for a while. And his son was a wonderful Christian pastor also. And his dad would always tell him this. Son, he said, just remember when things, whatever happens in life or in your walk with God, he said, just remember, Jesus is the answer. And his son kind of got impatient with his dad. Ah, Dad, you're old-fashioned, you know. You're simplistic. But Jesus is the answer. The longer that man walked with Christ, the son, the more he appreciated what his dad said. Because there's nothing and no one else like Christ himself that can put your heart headed in the right direction again and at peace with God. If there was another program, perhaps, I would offer that to you. Do this program and you'll be renewed. If there was another person to consider, I would point you to that person out of being a compassionate pastor. I find no one better than Christ himself to get your heart going again with God, to be at peace with him, not to neglect the salvation he brings. To say he is Lord, and to say, well, I am set free when I confess and follow him. Three areas I ask you to consider confessing him as Lord and following him as such. Number one's in our thought life. Say, Jesus is Lord of my thought life. That's where it all starts. Our head is connected to our heart. If he's in our heart, our head will follow. He'll be on your mind. And to think about our thoughts for a minute, without sounding too philosophical, the Bible lets us know what our thoughts are like. They're very wonderful. They're creative, but by themselves, in Isaiah 55, God tells us our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Did you ever have a conversation with somebody and you wonder, what are they thinking about? I don't think like that. That's what God says when he reads your mind. I don't think like that. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. And so we're to say, Lord, my thinking's all mixed up. I got the world upside down over here. Put my heart and thoughts toward you. The Bible says God will share with us the mind of Christ if we cry out to him for help. He changes our way of thinking to the truth and not toward error. Wouldn't it be terrible to go throughout your whole life and not be in touch with reality itself? Go through life and I missed the whole thing. I thought it was one way and it was the other. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that our minds were incapable of knowing reality apart from Christ. Wow. So Jesus starts in our thought life and he wants to think his thoughts through us. I remember how this worked out for me, just as an illustration. A couple of years ago, I had had a number of simultaneous trials. All things go wrong all at the same time. When it rained, it poured, literally. And in health, there was something in my health I couldn't control. Church life was out of whack, as often it is. And even my recreational life was all upside down. I had volunteered to coach a basketball team. We would lose many, many games, 16 of them. So I thought, I can't even have fun in the right way. And it was really overwhelming to the point where prayer life went downhill, opened the Bible. I could not concentrate enough to read the Scripture. And so I say, well, I don't know too many truths anymore, but I do know Jesus is Lord. And that literally was my prayer life for a number of months. As the only thoughts I could keep together in my prayer life. Jesus is Lord. Would pray that throughout the day and also throughout the night if I was not sleeping. And it was a blessing to know in that time that no matter what was happening on the outside or even in the mixed up thinking and emotions that I had, that Christ was still in charge. And I could confess He is Lord and to know Him. And, you know, His help and peace did not come, oh, the next day everything was just terrific. No, it was not so for me. But He moved in to stay in the troubled areas that did not always, those storms didn't cease, but the storms on the inside began to cease because I could say with confidence a truth, Jesus is Lord. Hey, no matter what else happens, He is there. And what a blessing that was. And so to have every thought, as it were, captive to Christ, could you have that as your goal? As you're thinking something, thinking, well, God wouldn't think this way. Why am I thinking this way? Say, Lord, help me see life and trouble and you from your point of view. Jesus be Lord of our thought life. And secondly, Jesus be Lord of our obedience to Him. Obedience. That we look at a chance to obey God as a blessing and to do that promptly, immediately when we know He's talking to us. Sometimes God will speak to my conscience and say, go help this person or call this person. You know, God brings somebody to mind and I'll say, well, not today, tomorrow. Tomorrow I call them. So I call them tomorrow. Hi, how are you? I was just checking to see how you're doing. Oh, yesterday I was having a terrible day and I needed help. You need any help today? No, today's okay. Okay, goodbye. Without not obeying promptly is not obeying. Is not obeying. Missing out the opportunity to follow Jesus on any one given day. Now, He's very patient. He asks us to follow Him again. We have that opportunity. In my own life and walk with Christ, I have never regretted obeying Christ. In any experience of life, I've never said, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should have been my own selfish sinfulness, you know. There. Missed out. Never regretted obeying Christ. And you will never regret obeying Christ. But you will always regret not obeying Christ. And just to think, wow, I could have been with Jesus in fellowship, but I was not. And God helps us. Jesus tells us if we love Him, we'll obey His commandments. And sometimes we just have to pray, Lord, be Lord of my obedience. Help me to obey You when I don't want to obey You. Help me to love You when my love for You is weak. And while obeying, to know we're not saved by how well we obey, but we obey because we're headed to heaven. And again, a sign of not drifting and not neglecting salvation. And it's been said the toughest people to have meet Christ are those within the walls of a church. It should not be. It should be the best place. Because the possibility of neglect and drifting. But the obedience calls us to say, oh, we trust and so we obey. That's the only way to be happy in the Lord. And then the Lord is Lord of our troubles. Lord of our troubles. He must be Lord every day then, since we have trouble every day. And one of the painful promises the Lord gives is this: in this world you will have trouble. I wish he wouldn't put that promise in there. He says, in this world you will have trouble, but my peace I give to you. Take heart, I have overcome the world. And so the troubles we have, which are very difficult for mortal people, they are open doors for us to see Jesus in us overcoming the troubles. And he does overcome them. And an example from a Christian leader, nationally known, respected Christian leader, not too long ago was diagnosed with very, very serious cancer. This hurt him both physically and his own relationship with Christ suffered because he was in pain all the time. It's hard to keep friendships going when you're in pain, you know. So he felt like God was saying, keep seeking me in this terrible trial. And he would say, not now, Lord, I'm too tired. I'll seek you later when I feel better. A reasonable thing, which I've prayed many times. Not now, Lord, I'll seek you later when I feel better. But he thought God's Holy Spirit spoke to his heart with these words. Now is the time. I'm Lord today. You have a choice to choose. Even though you are hurting, you can choose right now to proclaim my goodness and my wonders. Instead of focusing on your suffering, you can focus on me and the help I bring. And God was faithful that there was a breakthrough in the man's life. He was able to say, I trust Christ in spite of these overwhelming conditions. And the testimony that he had in his trouble was from 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the testimony is this: the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength for the sake of his name. So God has a plan for the trouble you are in. His plan is to stand by your side, to give you strength for the sake of his name, to honor himself, whether you shine in the trial or don't shine in the trial. I think Christ shines in the trial even when we fall flat on our face, because he's there to catch us, show us how strong he is when we're weak, and he is Lord of our troubles. And for you today, as you face this week, God has planned from all eternity past and in worship. If you don't have Christ in your heart, and you can honestly say, well, he's not Lord. He helps me feel better. He's my fire insurance policy. The Lord doesn't want to be that for you. He wants to be that and so much more. Lord of today, Lord, one to follow and trust. Give your heart to him and just say, cry out to him, Lord, convert me. Be my Lord. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you're Lord. He'll be gracious and help you follow him. And for troubled or weary or believers, which we are in need of revival or continuous conversion, can you just fix your thoughts on Jesus? He's great. And he waits to do that for you, that he might heal your soul and be the one that your heart, your weary heart longs for. And might we anchor our souls in him as we pray. Let's pray together. Jesus, you have many warnings in the Bible. 100 words of love and dozens of warnings, which are loving also. We pray we would look to you, dear Jesus. You're so wonderful, as we've sung, so sufficient. We do not want to drift or ignore such a great salvation. So our hearts, we turn to you. We ask you work on us from the inside out. And Father, for our thinking and our obedience and our troubles, we do confess from the depths of who we are, Jesus Christ is Lord. Might we meet you and continue to follow, Father, as your children. Thanks for that invitation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.